The Sitka Sound Sack Row Herring Fishery went on 2-hour notice this morning. As seiners converge for the annual fishery, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is holding firm on its harvest target of 14,649 tons. This is despite having fallen short of that target in 3 of the last 5 years. ADF&G managers held a preseason meeting with permit holders and processors to go over the data behind this year's forecast. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Juneau-based biologist Kyle Hebert and Sherry Dressel walk their audience through the decades of data that have been compiled for the Sack Row fishery. Hebert talked about egg deposition and age distribution, two key components that go into the forecast model. ADF&G measured 79 nautical miles of spawn in Sitka Sound last year in 2 distinct spawning events. Divers swam over 60 transects, measuring the width and density of spawn. Department biologists also study the condition of the herring at the time of harvest. Hebert suggested that it was a little subjective. He called it a gross metric, but the herring in 2016 were in good shape.
I think what we take from this is that there's no obvious red flags that there's a serious problem with food availability or nutrition or something like that.
But what about the problems or at least changes in the environment that affect the herring population? Sherry Dressel is a biometrician. She told The Room that she basically counts backwards from the trillions of eggs deposited during the spawn to come up with a rough estimate of females, and from there an estimate of males to begin the process of forecasting biomass.
So our goal has been at least over and under forecast over time so that it's balanced. I mean, if we had it in a perfect world, we'd be spot on, but that's not totally possible.
Dressel said that despite not always being on target, the department's forecasts have tracked on a line close to actual abundance. Over the past few years, humpback whales have been overwintering in Sitka Sound, and it's commonly assumed that they're feeding on herring. One permit holder asked if there was a correlation between water temperature, whale populations, and herring biomass.
2012, the water temp's cold, biomass is up. Could that be due to whales leaving the area?
Dressel explained that a natural temperature cycle in the ocean called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation indeed correlated to herring abundance, with warmer water temperatures in the Gulf as high as 4 to 6 degrees correlated to fewer herring. But whales, she said, have been on the increase since hunting ended in the 1970s, and the model accounted for their predation along with everything else out there that feeds on herring.
In our assessment, we don't account for whales directly, but they're included in the natural mortality so that when we don't see fish come back, that includes everything that was eaten by whales and birds.
The scientific presentation took the better part of an hour. Another permit holder appreciated the efforts of the department to manage the Sitka fishery and asked if any other fishery was comparably studied. Dressel said that Canadian biologists had strong expertise in modeling, but Sitka was probably the most comprehensively researched herring fishery anywhere.
And part of that's just because we can actually get to the areas. Sitka's the best because it's closest to shore, it goes the longest, and we've got the most samples. So we've probably got the best data set in Sitka of anywhere that I know of in the Pacific.
Besides receiving a refresher on the science behind the Sack Row fishery, the fleet heard presentations from Alaska wildlife troopers on enforcement, and from the Coast Guard. Steve Ramp with the Marine Safety Detachment cautioned the participants of the sometimes rough and tumble fishery that due to a mechanical issue with their patrol boat, the Coast Guard would be monitoring activity from unmarked vessels. You may not see them, he said, but they will be there. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.